I'm kind of ticked off at myself. I watch a lot of sports, but I missed it last night. Duquesne is playing Loyola of Chicago. Second half, and a picture I have up on my Instagram, a Uber driver comes on the court during the second half and momentarily stops the game. The ref goes, I've never seen anything like this before. Somebody at the game, a Duquesne, I guess a student or whatever, that's what I'm thinking, because I don't think too many Loyola of Chicago students are coming to see a game in Duquesne during the week. You know, you got school and everything. Ordered a McDonald's order from an Uber driver who walked around for 10 minutes to the bleachers until he found the guy who was kind of hungry during the game. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, in this day and age, and especially when I'm watching Fauda, that, you know, security should be something, you know, this guy not only walks into the arena, but walks onto the floor and nobody, security or anything, seems to think anything of it when they see a guy walking past. I mean, I know it's a small arena, but the game was on Fox Sports and everything, and nobody had the wherewithal to say, dude, what are you doing? And why are you walking on the court? And the guy has to know, is the order that important that he has to walk onto a court? Is he that oblivious in the world that he doesn't know, you know, there's a game going on? I mean, I've done it before where people are oblivious. They walk through your game, they walk through stuff, and they don't pay any attention. But this is, you know, the ref was like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, you can see the ref with the hand going, whoa, what's going on here? Never saw anything like that in my life. I mean, I was like, wow. Yeah, I mean, just crazy. And I saw Frank Reich got picked up for the Panthers job. And I just saw this tweet from Joe Person. Panthers thought it would be weird asking Steelbooks about potentially taking a position on Frank Reich's staff and vice versa, because both were interviewed as head coaching candidates per source. And I think he's filing a grievance, which he should, that, you know, he thought he had the job, the players loved him and everything, and they go with Frank Reich. No offense to Frank Reich, but I think Frank Reich could use a little time off after last season. I don't think he had to be out there and getting a new job ASAP. I don't think that was, you know, something that had to happen. Listen, I think he's a good coach. I do. But I feel like the Colts, well, he's got a crazy owner. He's got such a crazy owner that Irsay is thinking about keeping Jeff Saturday as the head coach, who went 1-7, blew a 33-0 lead to the Vikings, and would bring his own staff in, that Irsay's leaning toward bringing back Jeff Saturday. And there was a petition out with 1,700 signatures saying, we do not want Jeff Saturday as our head coach. Irsay, what are you smoking something, dude? Because I don't get that one. Why would you bring back Jeff Saturday? You know, and Steve Wilks did a good job with the Panthers. And, you know, they're going to talk about, you know, I don't understand what else he had to do. The team played great around him. They almost made the playoffs. I know they finished 7-10, but... Yeah, I think he's got a stink there. I do. I just saw Alabama's pro day is now March 23rd. He plans to fill his staff, might lead to him having a more CEO-like role in Carolina than they did in Indianapolis, per source. He has options as offensive coordinator. It's a matter of how ultimately he builds his staff. He was unemployed, so he got a leg up on calls due to NFL rules. I guess, yeah, he was unemployed. Mike K put that one up. Yeah, I think Wilks has a beef there. I think he should have gotten a shot at another job, or the Panther job for that matter. And he's going to file a grievance. We're going to see how that goes going forward. But time will tell on that one. And Michigan sent me from Facebook. She sent me, and I was like, wow. So ex-Michigan running back hired as Wayne State football coach. I didn't know Wayne State had a football team. 51 Tyrone Wheatley, the ex-Wolverine for its vacant position. He played at Dearborn at Robichaud in the late 80s, early 90s. He spent the last season as a running back coach for the Broncos. And he was, after a three-year stint as head coach at Morgan State, Wayne State went 1-9 in 2022. He's coached at a number of schools. He's running back coach at Michigan in 2015-2016. He's also coached in the NFL, Bills, the Jaguars. Yeah. He's fifth in program history in rushing yards for Michigan, second in rushing touchdowns. He was also an All-American in track and field. Hey, you know what? Good for you. Best of luck, Mr. Wheatley, going forward on that front. But yeah, I'm perplexed about, well, not perplexed. I mean, I thought Wilks was going to be, you know, Tepper is the owner, and he can hire anybody he wants. And I saw that Sean Payton Mike turned down Jobs because he's not crazy about it. And also DeMeco Ryan, who Payton, that's who the Broncos wanted. Now he's the lead candidate for the Broncos. But Payton, I agree. Where's, you know, the Texans, they're draft picks, but he doesn't have a quarterback. He'd be drafting an unknown. I think he was more interested in the Chargers, the Cowboys, where they have, I don't know if you really want to work with Dak Prescott. He didn't want to work with Russell Wilson. And we'll see, you know, so one job has been filled. Frank Reich. Yeah, I mean, he's an okay hire. I thought he should have went further with the Colts. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a better offensive coordinator than he is as a coach. I think with him and Peterson, what they did with the Eagles was fantastic. It didn't translate to the Colts. I think the Colts should have won the Colts should have beat the Bills, right, in the playoffs. I mean, they couldn't get any touchdowns, I remember, a couple of years ago, and they were the better team. And then everything fell apart last year, and then things went to shit this year. Then they bring in Saturday, and Saturday wins his first game against the Raiders and loses the rest of the games next seven while he's coached there. I mean, yeah, I don't know what Ursay's thinking there at all. 3 years today, 3 years ago today, Kobe and his daughter were killed in that helicopter crash. And listen, I know he's like the only player to have two numbers retired by the same franchise, phenomenal player, but to have to take a helicopter to a seventh graders travel basketball team game in weather that they shouldn't even have been out in makes me think, was it really all worth it? It wasn't worth it. I mean, all those people got killed in that helicopter crash for a traveling basketball game. Is that the end of the? I don't have kids, so I can't relate. But I mean, I my buddy Bill has kids. Well, one's in college now, but he plays on these travels, and I know people with the travel. Was it really that important to get to a travel basketball game in weather that they shouldn't have been out in? No. And now he's not here. It's just crazy. And today, Vince Carter is 46. I still remember watching him play at UNC. He was so awesome to watch. He was awesome. Still remember that game, reverse slam over Duncan. He was on fire against Wake Forest that game. It was phenomenal. Yeah, I just think about Kobe that, you know, looking back, you know, if someone would have just said, you know, but when you're, you know, you have a lot of yes people around you. When you're rich and powerful and famous, you have a lot of people around you to tell yes. And I don't know why that helicopter pilot thought that he could fly in that weather. I guess we all think we could do things we can't do. And yeah, useless. I mean, pointless to go to a game that meant nothing. It's just a basketball game. You play the next weekend. You say, okay, we can't get to the game. And that happens. It happens in life. And I still remember I was out with Michigan. Her friend, we went to lunch with some friends of hers. And then we were walking back and my phone blew up. And I was like, no, that's got to be, it can't be real. No, this can't be. And I remember talking to Lanker and we were all like, holy shit. Crazy. Just nuts. Yeah. And Djokovic is in the semifinals. He's going against Tommy Paul tonight at 10:30 local time on ESPN in the Aussie semifinals. I don't think Djokovic is anybody going to beat him, and he should move on. And in the Australian Open, women, we have the final. You know, I just think about my dad, what my dad says to me. You know, John, if I can read it in the paper, then don't reiterate it. It's two women. Someone beat Azarenka. She's in her, it's, the Aussie final is a first-timer versus Aussie Open scores. Yes, so we have Sabalenka beat Lynette and Rybakina beat Azarenka. So it's Sabalenka versus Rybakina, and Sabalenka is from Kazakhstan. So they're going to be in the finals, which should be, I saw that. But my father goes, I can read in the paper. So Sabalenka has won, winning streak to 11 matches now. Good for her. And she'll be playing in the final. And I don't know how many Sabalenka has won. Yes, Sabalenka. It's Rybakina versus Sabalenka. So Sabalenka beat to reach her first major final. And Rybakina won against Victoria Azarenka, ending the two-time champion's hope of winning the title 10 years after her last triumph. Sabalenka was over Lynette, who never advanced past the third round. Good. So that's cool. It's nice to see. And Rybakina won the U.S. Open last year because she was ranked outside the top 20. Yeah, so here are these two women going on to play for the final. It's pretty cool. Hey, you know what? You get there and you want to win some tournaments and now you're in the finals. And I'd love to see Djokovic lose to Tommy Paul. I don't think it's happening, but I'd like to see it. But it's not going to happen. And Luka Doncic, how about this? This is crazy. Luka Doncic has a $250,000 Jeep. But it's not $250,000. I sent pictures to everybody. Rhonda said she would get it, but it's a little above her price range, which I agree. It's a little bit above my price range, too. But I was like, $250,000 for a Jeep that is totally pimped out. I mean, this thing is crazy. Yeah, I was trying to find, yeah. It is a heavily modified Jeep Gladiator, which is thermal and night vision cameras, a 5-blast train horn, 850 horsepower, and said to be worth $250,000. It's pretty cool looking. It's a pretty cool looking Jeep. And, you know, he can afford it. He makes good money, and let him drive around a $250,000 Jeep. I mean, hey, he's got, you know, I guess he has to worry about maybe he's going underground or something. I just thought that was really funny. I just thought that. And Dan Quinn is staying in Dallas. Top candidate for the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Broncos. He wants to win a Super Bowl there, which I think is better. And I think he thinks he'll take over the head coaching job. Maybe. So now DeMeco Ryan is going to be the one gaining steam in. We'll see how that works out for them. But exciting times, right? Hey, and the Jets got Keith Carter, who was the former Titans offensive line coach. But really, that got Nathaniel Hackett, who for 3 years with Aaron Rodgers, they lit it up. And it didn't work out for him as the Denver Broncos head coach. And his father, Paul Hackett, was offensive coordinator of the Jets from 2001 to 2004. Now can they get Aaron Rodgers? We'll see if that is going to happen. I mean, time will tell on that front. The Bengals players are calling Arrowhead Burrowhead. And I think that's hilarious. Burrow is now 5-1 in the playoffs. Him and Mahomes, the only players to start 5-1 in their postseason careers. Thank you, Pro Football Network. And if he wins against KC, he will be the first quarterback ever to go to 6-1 in his first 7 playoff games and go to Super Bowls in his first 2 tries. Never happened before, but he's 5-1 in the playoffs right now. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens. Mahomes is ready to go. He said he's going to be fine. The Cowboys might go after Saquon Barkley if, you know, things will work out with the Giants. Dave is a huge Cowboys fan, like Daniel, like Lanker, like Chris, and he would love to have Saquon. He says he comes in and plays hard every day. And Kuiper says that the Cowboys will draft Bijan Robinson. Hal not excited about that. Hal showed me his tickets. He's going to the Rockets game tonight against Cleveland. He has very nice seats. I said, you know, poverty sucks. He said, I've heard that before. I said, it does. He has very nice seats at the Rockets game. I'd like to go to the Toyota Center and see a game there with him. That'll be something to do in the future. But so they could get Saquon. They get Bijan Robinson. Tony Pollard, if he comes back healthy. Zeke is gone because Pete, they let go of a bunch of coaches, the Cowboys. One of them was Ronnie Pete's brother, who was the running back coach, and Zeke said he'd take a pay cut. Zeke needs to, you know, find somewhere else to play. And he thinks, Mel Kiper thinks Stetson Bennett, third round Drew Brees comparisons. We'll see if that pans out. McCarthy let go of Leon Lett, assistant defensive line coach. Skip Pete, the resident backs coach, that's not good for Zeke. Joe Philbin, the offensive line coach. Kyle Valero, the quality coach, control coach. And Rob Davis, assistant head coach. That's who McCarthy got rid of. We'll see how this works out going forward. But time will tell on that front. I mean, a lot of guys are let go now. I mean, coaches have to make some changes. And the coaches are getting rid of. But the coach is probably told by ownership, well, you know what? You didn't win. And you got like maybe one more year to make it happen. So let's get shit going. And you're going to have to get rid of some coaches. And better than him. A.J. Brown said he is not a diva. You know, he was getting into it on the sideline. I guess he wasn't getting enough targets against the Giants, even though they're winning. But all, Wide receivers always do that. Doesn't matter what the score of the game is. They seem to care they're not getting enough targets. It's always, I'm not getting enough targets. In the end, you want to win, you want to win, you want to win. And he says he has no injury. Bengals went from a 2.5-point favorite to a 1-point favorite now. Frank Reich will actually, Panthers will host the Colts next season at home, which is kind of crazy. So he'll be the head coach. And Steve Wilks, there's rumors that he could become the new Falcons defensive coordinator. And Bills safeties coach Jim Salgado fired today off Sean McDermott's staff. He's been there since 2017. He was a nickel coach from 2020-21 seasons, and this past season moved to safeties. He's done. You know, he's gone. So that's the end of that. I mean, guys have to roll heads. I mean, it's not working. Bills need a running back. Yeah, they do. They do. And Micah Parsons brought up a good point. Micah Parsons, that Mahomes isn't, but Burrow, Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy, and Jalen Hurts are all in the rookie deals, which, you know, helps. And Brandon Bean said, I don't want to suck bad enough to get Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, think about it. The Bengals got Burrow first round in 2020. They also got the offensive lineman the year before with the 11th pick. They've gotten a lot of players that have panned out for them. They got Chase in 2021 with the 5th pick. But he's got a point there. Also, he should worry less about, because he doesn't want it. He looks at that. If you're getting players like that, you're rebuilding. And he has Diggs on a contract. And he has Allen, so it's a little different. I mean, that sounds like a guy whining. You got your asses kicked by the better team and in the snow and at home. And you need a running back. So Brandon Bean, those are things you'd be worrying about going forward. But we'll see what happens with that front. Jason's got to be ecstatic about this. Washington requests an interview with 49ers assistant head coach, running back coach Anthony Lynn for offensive coordinator. He was from 2017 to 2020 the Chargers head coach. And this is the thing. I mean, you know, that's when you start winning. You get guys that are taken away from your team. And one of the guys is, you know, I mean, it's going to look like defensive coordinator. He looks like Anthony Lynn, and we'll see what happens. And he'll have to retool Kyle Shanahan. And, yeah, I don't think they're winning the game, but we'll see what happens. And Lions are upgrading their field turf from slit film surface that people didn't like. We'll see how that goes. Mel Kiper at his top 10, which Bumble sent to me. Jalen Carter from Georgia, number one to the Bears. Number two, C.J. Stroud to the Texans. Will Anderson, the great Bama guy, who actually had a better sophomore year than junior year for the Cardinals from Bama. Then Bryce Young to Indianapolis, 4. Will Levis, Seattle via Denver, 5th. Then Texas Tech, Tyree Wilson, defensive end, who got hurt, but they're saying he's going to be a beast in the pros for the Lions. And I'm like, so the Lions are just going to keep, I guess they need help on defense. And if you get to the quarterback, then you don't have to, you know, put pressure with him and Aiden Hutchinson. It's going to be interesting. Peter Skoronski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, who they said will be a perennial All-Pro for the Raiders. You always need guys to protect the quarterback. Clemson defensive end Miles Murphy to Atlanta, 8th. Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback, 9th. I think he could be a beast, but he's raw. And Kalijah Kansi from Pittsburgh defensive tackle, who was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year for Philly. The Philly will pick via New Orleans. And you know what? And think about that. This is a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl and is going to pick 10th in the draft. And listen, you get to the quarterback, you want to protect the quarterback and get to the quarterback. You can do that. A lot of good things happen. Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay, unimpressed by Cincinnati offense. They said, what do you think of the offense? He said, nothing. What do you think of it? Nothing. Is that bold to A? And T. Higgins says he's entitled to his opinion. I mean, we don't really give a shit. You can say whatever you want. I mean, okay. If that's what you think, fine. You know, hey, more power to you. We'll see what happens. NFL extends partnership with Players Coalition. 5 more years, $15 million grant to address social, racial change. You know, I talked about how if it would cost the NFL $13 million to change all the fields to grass. I'm all for social and racial change. But how about protecting the health of the players on a daily basis by putting grass in? And if you can put $15 million toward a grant, you can put money toward, you know, putting grass fields everywhere. And so I'm going to call you out on that one. And Jimmy G not expected to be ready for the Eagles, NFC Championship game. I was thinking, was that really an option? I didn't know that was an option. And if it was, it's not the option I would take. But what do I know? And we watched the Ranger game last night. And Philip Heidel, career-high 15th goal, 7th in the last 10 games. He has 11 points in the last 10 games, 7 goals, 4 assists. That's the most assists the last 10 games for the Rangers. They're up 2-1 in the third period, gave up a goal in the last 4 minutes, and then 19 seconds into overtime, Marner scored for Toronto, and they ended up losing 3-2, his 18th of the season. So the Rangers blew another lead. They just keep blowing leads, man. I mean, they can't hold a goddamn lead. They're up 2-1, 4 minutes left. You got Shesterkin in goal. You're on the road. That's a game you got to win. And then it went to shit just like that. And Hedo's been playing great, man. I mean, you know, already set a career high. Kako had some nice plays. That young line, you know, Kako and Hedo are playing great together, and it's showing. But, I mean, they can't hold goddamn leads. And Michigan was pissed off. I was pissed off. I mean, hold the lead. Hold the lead. Come on, man. Devils are playing at Nashville. Devils are 31-12-4, 66 points. Nashville's 23-18-6, 52 points, 8 p.m. tonight. They're 2 points behind Carolina, who has 68 points. Rangers have 60. They're in third place in the Metropolitan Division. Pittsburgh and Caps are tied with 56, and the Isles are down to 51. But the Devils already have more wins this season than all of last season. I mean, they're getting it done. The Kraken won yesterday, 6-1 over the Canucks. Tied for first with Vegas. First win in 7 meetings against Vancouver. They're 28-14-5. They already have more points this year than they had all last season. Vancouver, 19-26-3. Tocchet replaced Boudreau, and not many people were happy about that. Sebastian Aho, 200 goals, third fastest in Hurricane Whalers history. Also scored his 16th shorthand goal, tied him with Eric Staal for the most in Canes Whalers history. So I was like, okay, you know, I see sometimes stats, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So he did it in 485 games. Well, Blaine Stoudon did it in 310, and Kevin Dineen did it in 432. So basically, he did it in 175 more games. Do the math. They play 82 games a season? Or 80? How many NHL hockey games? I know basketball is 82. NHL, how many games a season? How many NHL games in a season? 82. So he's 107. So we're talking over two. Took him two full seasons more to get 200 goals with the Hurricanes than it did Stoudon. So to me, it's like a stat I see. And I know, you know, my dad always says I have too many stats on the show. But I thought that and I was like, it's not really that big a deal. I mean, it's okay. But the Carolina is 39-8. And yeah, I mean, they're playing. The Stars are, they beat the Stars last night 3-2 in overtime. They still haven't lost 10 games this season, and that would be a hell of a season with 68 points. But the Bruins were the fastest ever to 80 points. They're 38-5-4. That's like the 84 Tigers started 35-5. I mean, they just blew through everybody. They had the season to end all season. That was an amazing season. Oh, and I love the black Hurricane uniforms with the red Hurricane. They've never done this before. The NHL Stadium Series, February 18th at Carter Finley Stadium. That's on the NC State campus. Caps are going to play the Canes in the NHL Stadium Series. Carolina's first outdoor game, 8 p.m. ESPN and ABC. It's the Caps' fourth outdoor game. They're 3-0 so far. And there are only three teams now that have not played an outdoor game: Arizona, Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Panthers. I don't know why Columbus Blue Jackets don't play at the Dumps football stadium. That should be happening. I don't understand why that hasn't happened. That makes total sense to me that Columbus should host a game in Columbus. And Arizona could play. Why not give a game in Arizona? Figure out, get the ice out there, and have it at the Cardinal Stadium. That's what I would do, man. Let's get that happening, man. Like, soon. And Penn's Chris Letang versus Florida. This is a guy who had a stroke and his father died. Florida against Florida, January 24th, first defenseman to record even strength assist, even strength goal, and a power play assist and a power play overtime goal ever. First defenseman to do that. I just had a stroke. My father died. I'm just going to keep doing it. Hockey players are badasses, man. They are total badasses. And the Senators, the rest of the season, will be wearing a helmet decal to support their assistant coach, Bob Jones, who's fighting ALS. And ALS, yeah, that sucks. That sucks. And I love that they're supporting him, but that's a death sentence. I mean, it's so to lose total functionality of your body and having your brain still function, and you know you can't control your body anymore. That's what they said. Once you can't wipe your own ass, that's it. Once you can't take care of yourself, I mean, we all have to have the will to live, but yeah, I got to be honest with you. If I couldn't move every day or do stuff, it'd be a tough go for me, a very tough go for me. And I'm sending my best to Jones and his family, because they, you know, I think Tim Green wrote all those books, ex-football player. I read a lot of his books. He has ALS now. He was a broadcaster. I loved him. And a really good guy. Well, he's dealing with ALS right now. You don't see him anymore. You know, I mean, yeah, and I don't know how Gleason's still trucking. I mean, he's done everything. And still, I mean, amazing. I mean, I hope they can find a cure for that. It's really, it's sad. The Nets lost 137-133 to the Sixers last night, and I got some doozies from this game. I some hilarious stuff. So the Sixers have won six straight, 19 of the last 23. They're playing out of their minds, and Curry had 32, Kyrie had 30, Maxey led the Sixers with 27. But this is from the Brooklyn Netcast. This is a fan-based Nets Twitter account. The Brooklyn Nets had the third highest field goal percentage in a loss in NBA history last night. 65% from the field. Turnovers, fouls, and bad calls really hurt the Nets last night. And I was talking to Javi about this, that he didn't score a point in the first half. Ben Simmons. Now, he does a lot of other stuff. I'm not denying it. But they got to get points out of him. And he was turning down shots. He took one shot. They actually benched. They went with Royce O'Neal and Joe Harris in crunch time, rather than putting him in, because these guys will shoot the ball. He had 10 points. He helped them make a comeback from 17 down, but at the end they're losing the game. Kyrie had an amazing shot where he just contorts his body. And I love this. This is from Scoop B. Robinson. 76ers will not play one song from an artist from the borough, Brooklyn, or New York City in tonight's game against the Nets, I'm told. Apparently, that's a ritual that the team DJ Ghost, in which he refuses to play music from the opposing team city. I'm okay with that. That's respect. Yeah, Kyrie made an amazing basket. And this is from Gina Mizell, who covers the Sixers, she said. So he makes this basket to cut it to 133-131. Iverson, who was standing from his courtside seat on the opposite side, turned around and clearly impressed mouth, that motherfucker. And if the Nets play like they did last night, they can beat the Pistons, Knicks, Lakers, and Wizards for the next five games. And that, you know, especially with Durant sideline. And Embiid said something to KD's not even playing. That's the first time that Simmons has played against Embiid. And Embiid was 6-for-18, but was perfect from the foul line. He did not have a good game. But I'm like, enough already. Alex Sturm, thank you for that. And they're looking for upgrades. Joe Harris, Seth Curry, and Patty Mills could be involved in trades because of their short-term salaries and the fact that they've been playing lesser roles. So we'll see how that goes going forward. But the Nets fell to 29-18. Sixers improved to 31-16. They're hot right now. Nick Claxton, 25 points, career high, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. So he got it done. And Kyrie wants to stay with the Nets. Javi, you want him? You want him because he wants to stay. His agent said the ball's in the Nets court. I mean, hey, he wants to stay. We'll see. I mean, the guy can play. I guess we'll see what happens going forward. But he would like to stay in Brooklyn. Now he wants to stay. He loves it here. He loves it. All the problems I caused, yeah, let bygones be bygones. The past is the past. The toothpaste is out of the tube. We're okay with that. Hey, all the shit you cause and all the, you know, drama and everything. And, you know, hey, you posted the thing. You didn't really watch the documentary and you didn't think it was a big deal about the Jews and everything. That's okay. And taking time off and just being a pain in the ass, not getting vaccinated. Hey, that's your right. But, you know, if everybody else is getting vaccinated and they kind of need you to play, kind of puts a damper on the season. And it did last season. You guys went out with a whimper in the first round against the Celtics. And this is a team that everybody thought was going to win a championship. Harden wanted out. He's gone. But hey, shit, yeah, let's give you an extension. You know, you deserve it. You deserve it. You're a great guy. You're a real team guy. You're a glue guy. You're a guy I want to build around. He can play, though. He can ball. And in the end, talent always is talent. So we'll see what happens going forward. The Knicks, 26-23 at the Celtics, 35-14. We'll see what happens there. Jordan Poole hit the game winner, and with a minute left, Steph Curry threw out his mouthpiece. He got ejected. Yeah, Grizz lost again. Grizz are 31-17. Golden State is 24-24. Ja had 29 points, 12 assists. Bane had 20. Clay had 24. Curry had 34. Poole had 21. Green just does everything. He's the glue guy. 8 points, 13 rebounds, 7. That's the guy. Now, you don't expect him to shoot a lot. But Ben Simmons, you're expecting him to shoot more. I think he's trying to be more like Draymond Green, but they need him to be more of a scorer. And if that's who he's trying to be, okay. But it's not okay with the, you know, that's what the Nets got him for, the three-headed monster, which is what they really need. They need him to put up points. And, you know, Draymond never put up points. But then again, Simmons was putting up more points, but he doesn't like to shoot the ball. Maybe he has to take some lessons with the ball so he won't feel as upset. Lakers beat the Spurs, 80's first game back, 113-104. They're 23-26. I mean, LeBron at 20, almost had a triple-double. Like, he's playing amazing. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. I heard that Davis wasn't going to play within 20 minutes. Well, he had 26. He had a double-double, 21 and 12 rebounds. And Alperen Şengün for the Rockets had his second triple-double, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. But they suck. They're 11-37, lost to the Wizards, 108-103. Wizards are 22-26. I mean, I get all these things that pop up because I follow everybody. And then I'm thinking, should I put this down? Is it really important? Does anybody care that Alperen Şengün had his second triple-double? I don't know. I don't think it's really a big deal. But sometimes I find some of the stuff interesting and I write it down. And I know it's a lot of stats. And some of the stats are interesting to me. Some of them are not. I'm just amazed the numbers these guys put up. I'm amazed that LeBron is still playing at such a high level, you know, after being in the league for 20 years. It just blows my mind. And that Golden State, I don't think it matters. Well, for seeding, maybe it does, but nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. The problem is they suck on the road this year. They've only won 5 games on the road this year. So we'll see what happens there. And Danny Green, former UNC grad, tore his ACL, LCL back in May. He's going to make his debut for the Grizz on Wednesday, February 1st, when they host Portland. So I'm excited about that. Devin Booker going to be reevaluated by the Suns in a week. And Sixth Man of the Year candidate, Bucks Bobby Portis, MCL sprain, right knee, he's going to be out. And Steve Adams, you know, is also going to be out. And that's a glue guy. That's a glue guy for the they missed him last night. They missed him last night. PCL sprain and right knee out 3 to 5 weeks. He's averaging 9 points and 12 rebounds a game. Now, Jared Benson covers the Volunteers. I saw the Volunteers play, the men's basketball team play Maryland at Barclays, and it was a terrible game. Just no offense. Well, now I know why, because they have the best 3-point percentage versus teams this year. The best someone's done against this year is 33%, 5 for 15. Only team over the last decade to hold 20 opponents to 33% or worse from three-point range. They're the only team last year to do this. And right now they're on pace. Teams are averaging 21.6% from three against them, which would be the best ever for three-point defense. So they beat Georgia last night by 29, 70-41. They're 17-3. Georgia fell to 13-7. So in 20 games this year, this is from Wes Rucker, opponents have scored fewer than 50 points in 10 of the 20 games and fewer than 60 points in 15 of the 20 games. I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, they're really locking the teams. And they can't hit the three against them, and everybody's taking the three. They are playing good ball. They are the fourth-ranked team in the country right now. UNC women going for their sixth straight tonight. Number 15 UNC, 14-5 at 7-12 Pittsburgh, 6 p.m. That's in 41 minutes on ACC Network. And tonight we have number 1 Purdue, which is 19-1, 8-1 in the Big Ten at Michigan, 11-8, 5-3. So they're not playing bad in division. They're just – that's an ugly record. That's at 9 p.m. And Georgetown on, what was this, Tuesday, snapped a 29-game losing streak in the Big East. 682 games, first win of the Big East since March 13, 2021. They beat DePaul 81-76. I mean, goddamn, they're terrible. With Patrick Ewing, the alum, probably their most famous alum. Iverson's up there too, and so is Mourning. And to come in, but they've had some stars, but they're 6-15. DePaul's 9-17. Imagine that, 682 days between Big East wins. And Bama, they won last night over Mississippi State, 66-63. They're losing all game. They're 18-2. Xavier, they're 17-4. Number 13 Xavier won at UConn, 82-79. UConn is 2-6 their last eight. Xavier under Sean Miller, you know, the former Arizona coach, 9-1 in the Big East. They're 17-4. UConn fell to 16-6. Daniel Hurley got to turn things around, but it doesn't. Yeah, thank you, Jeff Goodman, for that. And the Oklahoma women fell to Texas 78-58. The number 14 Oklahoma women, They're 16-3. Texas is 15-6. But why I did this is that the Oklahoma guard Taylor Robertson hit her 497th three-pointer. That's the most in women's college basketball ever, and she's going to add to that total. That's a lot of three-pointers, folks. In college, she's of the 497. Jordan Poole just joined the 500 club in the NBA. That's a lot. And Aaliyah Boston, I read, so she has a year left of eligibility. She could be the number one pick in the 2023 WNBA draft. And because of the NIL money, maybe she'll stay another year because she'll make more in college than she will playing in the WNBA. And she could go on a run of winning national championships. Why rush to get to the pros when she can make a lot of money in college? And, you know, I mean, she has the fan base and everything there. I would stay. I mean, there's more money made in college than in WNBA. Until that changes, which is kind of sad, I'd stay in college. And Iowa State, man, so Kansas moves from 13-5, Kansas State. They lose at Ames to Iowa State yesterday. And the top six teams in the Big 12 are either 6-2 or 5-3. That's a conference. I mean, talk about a conference that everybody's balling. And Dana Brown, so Hal will be excited about this. The Braves VP of scouting is the now new Astros GM. He was instrumental in stocking the Braves farm system with elite talent over the last few years. That should be good. And Jeffrey Springs of Tampa Bay, 9-5, 2.46 ERA. That equated, he's 30 years old, got a four-year, $31 million contract from Tampa Bay. Mike Tyson, rape charge from a woman in the early 90s, violently raped her in the back of a limo. She's seeking $5 million in damages under the new New York Adult Survivor Act. It was signed into law back in May, allows those over 18 to sue their alleged abusers regardless of when abuse took place. So we're going to see a lot of this, folks. A lot of this. We're talking 30 years ago that the woman all of a sudden decided to come forward, and it's a money grab. I'm sorry. It's a money grab. Because why wouldn't she have come forward back then? Why now? Why? And I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm just saying, why now? If it happened in the early 90s, let's just say it's 92. You're talking something that happened 31 years ago. Why not 2000? Why not 5 years later? Why not 10 years? But now, all of a sudden, in 2023, she's decided to come forward? I don't understand. I don't. And Adam Ottavino getting a jump start by using pitching timers in his, which, hey, I can't wait. Baseball's so goddamn slow. They got to speed this shit up. It's too long. It's forever. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Am I excited to see Frank Reich? Meh. I could give two shits. Yeah. Errol Spence thinks age will be a factor for undefeated Arthur Beterbiev on Saturday. Father Time is undefeated. That is true. And UFC wants Oliveira versus, who do they want? I love when this goes really slow. Yeah, they want a fight between Oliveira and Darius. Oh, and I watched the Slap League last night on TBS. Why would you let someone slap you? And I don't know how there's some concussions or, I mean, these guys, some of these guys, are, and they hold like a padded rod behind their back, I guess, to hold them up. But some of these guys, it was crazy. They didn't show any of the women. I missed that, but they put them in this stupid house like the UFC. A league of people slapping each other in the face. And they were doing the sports science of how to, you know, the shoulder and everything. And I'm looking, it's a sport where someone stands in front of another person and lets themselves be slapped. And the whole thing is, I guess, do you have a strong enough chin to take and jaw to take a hit? That's the talent? Because I would think, yeah, I don't get it. And I can't, the damage done to people's, yeah, it perplexes me why anybody would want to do that. There's not enough money in the world. Not enough money in the world for me. And I saw Codify put the 99 Rockies scored 658 runs at home, 303 on the road, which translated to a 72-90 record. So I'm thinking, thank you, Codify, for something that no one really... So they double the runs at home on the road. It didn't matter. Yeah, and Steve Wilks, I would be shocked and disturbed that I was passed over for the job. I feel you deserved it. I really do. I think you deserve the job. Yeah. Yeah, I do. And Joel Clapp put, so NCAA is big mad at Michigan football because they contacted recruits during COVID dead period and had an analyst coach too much. Okay. Meanwhile, Gators football promises a recruit $13 million and can't pay it, but the NCAA has nothing to say about that. But it is, NIL is legal. So I don't know how you can, that's why I didn't say. Why is the NCAA still a thing? I don't know. I don't know if that's a proc, I don't really compare to the two because NIL is legal, but I do feel like during the COVID period, you know, it's just dumb shit, man. I just feel like the NCAA is too involved and just annoying as hell. So, yeah, Michigan gave me that, but I don't think I compare the two, but yeah, I was like, really? I mean, that's... Oh, and Barbarian director Zach Cregger has signed an 8-figure deal to write and direct a new horror epic titled Weapons for New Line. It's one of the biggest filmmaker deals in years. So that's over $10 million. So congrats to you. Make the money while you can. And Joe Mazzulla just walked past. This was Adam Himmelsbach posted this on Tuesday, that Joe Mazzulla just walked past Marcus Smart in the locker room, did a full somersault in front of him, turned and said, "You can't do that," then walked out. That's a mic drop if I ever saw one. The head coach just doing that in front of him. I was like, damn. I mean, yeah, that's respect. Respect. That's impressive. I couldn't do it. I can't do any somersaults. I try not to. Michaela Schifrin made skating history Tuesday in Italy. 83rd career win in skiing World Cup. She passed Lindsey Vonn for the most by a female skier. 27-year-old, 3 wins away from Ingemar Stenmark, all-time record. She goes, "I don't think there are words to explain all the feelings. There's too much excitement to feel." She's amazing. That woman is an amazing, amazing. Yeah, she's just awesome. Blown away, man. Yeah, and the Giants, according to Ralph Vacchiano at Fox Sports, Saquon wants $60 million. They were getting $12 million back in late October. They couldn't meet eye to eye. They could franchise tag him at $10.1 million. That's another option. Joe Shane is more focused on keeping Jones. It does carry some risks because, you know, he's really hasn't been consistent and he really sucked against the Eagles. I don't think that's a good move. The Niners are 1-3 when outrushed by opponents this season. 15-0 when they win the rushing battle. Eagles were outrushed in all 3 of the losses this year. The Niners were 2nd in rush defense, 78 yards a game, 3.4 yards a carry during the regular season, while the Eagles ranked 16th, 122 a game, 4.6. But then the Eagles did rush for 268 against the Giants, and the Niners rushed for 113 against the Cowboys. We'll see what happens. You know, McCaffrey's dealing with an ankle, calf injury. But he averaged 5.7 yards per touch in the regular season. He did have a touchdown, but he had 57 yards against Dallas. So we'll see how that works. Travis Kelce, listen to this. Career playoff stats, 16 games, 120 receptions. Do the math right there. That is over 7 a game. 1,389 receiving yards. That's 87 a game. And 14 touchdowns in 16 games. Unbelievable. And Carl Cheffers will be the referee for the Super Bowl this year. He officiated Super Bowl in 2021. What was that, 55? And Super Bowl 51 in 2017. He also worked the Bengals-Bills game this year. He's officiated for 23 years, been a referee for 15. He's most famous for leading the staff that threw 8 first-half penalty flags against the Chiefs in 2021, which set a Super Bowl record of 95 penalty yards and 6 first downs via penalty. Chiefs lost to Tampa Bay. All right. So we'll see. 15 total penalties were called in that game. So that's a guy there said that we'll see what happens. You know, if he'll call our penalties during this game. Also, you're going to have in the game Judge Gerard Phillips will be the first citizen of the Cherokee Nation to be assigned to Super Bowl, according to Football Zebras. Kind of cool. Michigan just said, "Hello, how are you, Michigan?" Yeah, and Sean McDermott says Josh Allen will need to improve in certain areas to move this organization forward. He also singled out the offensive and defensive lines. He also had 23 turnovers this year, most by any player in a single season over the last 3 years. Yeah, he was hit 8 times against the Bengals. They ran for 3.3 yards. They don't have a great running. Hey, listen, they lost Von Miller in week 12. That hurt them. Yeah, you got Allen's going into the first year of a $258 million contract extension will kick in next season. They won't have enough cap space to make big player acquisition moves, so they're going to have to win with the players they have, I guess. And the
the awards are out. The finalists, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, Allen, and Jefferson are up for the MVP. We'll see what happens on that front. I think it's Mahomes. Defensive Player of the Year, it's Bosa, Micah Parsons, and Chris Jones. Chris Jones, very good player for the Chiefs, but I think Bosa is going to get it. He had the most sacks. Offensive Player of the Year, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, or just, I think Justin Jefferson put up a hell of a season, man. Rookie of the Year, offensive, Brock Purdy for 7 games. Really? Really? I mean, did he even, I mean, honestly, Kenneth Walker III and Garrett Wilson should get it, in my opinion, for with terrible, terrible quarterbacks. Gardner's going to get it over Aiden Hutchinson, and Tariq Woolen led the NFL with 6 interceptions this year. Comeback Player of the Year, it's going to be either Barkley, McCaffrey, or Geno Smith. I'll tell you, I think Geno Smith's going to get a lot of, but I think Barkley had a hell of a season, and they went to the playoffs. McCaffrey had a hell of a season. They all had great seasons. They all made the playoffs. So I don't know. And Coach of the Year, I'm sorry, Dable, Peterson, McDermott, Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan. He's on the third string coach, man. Third string quarterback. Come on. And the assistant coach of the year is Ben Johnson from the Lions, who's coming back. DeMeco Ryans, who's probably going to become the Broncos head coach. And Shane Steichen, who was up for the, they thought he was going to get the pass job, the Panthers job. That's not happening. Bill O'Brien's joining the Pats. And actually, Jones, before he left, helped get him ready, helped him integrate the Patriots playbook with concepts from Alabama. Oh, they said that's what he's gonna integrate, but that he helped when he came to Bama, he helped him learn the playbook, the Alabama playbook, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, that was pretty cool. He took a few weeks to help O'Brien learn the offensive system, which was there. So listen, I mean, if maybe he can get him back, if they need a real offensive coordinator, we'll see what happens going forward. And, you know, time will tell. Also, they signed the closing on the deal to make Oregon offensive line coach, run game coordinator Adrian Clem their next offensive line coach. Oregon's offensive line allowed the fewest sacks, 5 in the FBS last season. And they might go after DeAndre Hopkins, who Bill Belichick is a big fan of. Yeah, we're going to see. I don't know. Brian Flores could be has an existing relationship with the Cardinals' new GM, Monty Austin Ford, and Flores won't take shit from anybody, so I think that's a good thing. Frank Reich, Colts, I don't know. It looks like Saturday in Texans. I guess it's going to be between Kafka and Broncos defensive coordinator Ajiro Evero. I guess we'll see what happens there. Yeah, time will tell. I mean, yeah, I guess we're going to see. Yeah. And how about this? LSU accidentally overpaid Tigers football coach $1 million during the first year of his 10-year $100 million contract. He was overpaid $1,368 in supplemental payments in 2022 because of duplicate payments made both to Kelly's LLC and to the coach directly. How do they fuck this up? But they said, you know, that they've fixed the problem. They've adjusted, I don't know. That's a big fuck up. That's a lot of money to fuck up. Somebody didn't do their job. But, you know, it happens. It's just people screw up their checkbooks. This is a little bit bigger, in my opinion. Oh, and tonight we got Connecticut versus Tennessee at 8 o'clock, women's basketball at Tennessee. That's going to be pretty cool. And LSU, after going 6-7 last year. Oh, we went for its first losing season. Previously coach at Notre Dame, was hired after the 2021 season when they went 6-7. They went 10-4, and then they blew out Purdue 63-7 in the Citrus Bowl. And Josh Heupel, extension with Tennessee, earned $9 million annually through January 2029, moving him to the top 10 highest paid coaches nationally. And Rutgers, hey, Dave Brock is the running back coach. I'm sorry, the receivers coach, signed a new 2-year deal worth $1.05 million. Where are they getting all this goddamn money, Rutgers? They suck. And it's amazing. This is a state school that's paying a wide receiver coach $1.05 million. He's going to make $500,000 this year, which is double the $250,000 that previous wide receiver coach Damier Shaw made, who was now the running back coach, made. So I know that he was head coach at Delaware, Brock. But really? $500,000? And he's scheduled to get a $50,000 raise for the 2024 season, and I'll have an opportunity to earn performance incentives consistent with other members of the football staff. I'm just blown away with this money. and Andrew Orick, who has moved into the vacant tight ends coach role, is set to make $350,000 in the 2023 season. I'm stunned. I mean, I know they pay these guys, but $500,000 state school. Yeah, I'm blown away. And Damian Lillard, 60 points, 40 plus for a fourth time in the last 2 weeks, 8 games, tied for second most in the NBA this season. Mitchell had 71, and Doncic had 60 in their OT win against the Knicks. And yet, Donovan Mitchell had it against Chicago on January 3rd. 60.7 rebounds and 89.8 true shooting, which is calculates a player's shooting through field goal percentage, free throw percentage, and three-point field goal percentage taken individually. So they measure it, a player's efficiency at shooting the ball. So it does it. It's an advanced statistic measuring a player's efficiency at shooting the ball. That's what they said. It was the most efficient 60-point game in NBA history. So congrats to him. I mean, he's the third player to score 60 points in a game this season, all in the last month, which is crazy. He's had four, joined Michael Jordan and James Harden for the third most career 60-point games. Only Kobe with six and Chamberlain with 32 have more. That's crazy. And the Bucks beat the Nuggets. Jokic sat out the game. And Giannis had 33, 14 rebounds. The Blazers beat the Jazz. And, you know, Lillard, man, gets a job done. He's amazing. And crazy. Yeah, unbelievable. That's nuts in my opinion. How about this? The Nuggets are 15-0 this season when Jokic has a triple-double, and he's had 15 triple-doubles. So they've won every game that he's had a triple-double in, which is amazing. Yeah, and the look on the bench. Clippers have won, what's it, 9 or 10 straight against the Lakers? And LeBron, the other night, he had 46, but he said in the last 5 minutes, they showed him on the bench, he looked miserable. And the All-Star game, nobody will know the team rosters until right before tip-off, not even the players. And I was like, okay. So the lineups won't be known. I guess the reserves will be picked, but we won't know the lineups until right before tip-off because they're trying to make a game that's basically a no-defense dunkathon into something interesting. I guess we're going to see what happens. Yeah, and Doncic is the leading scorer this year with almost 34 games. Sabonis for the Kings is the leading rebounder with almost 13 a game. Halliburton for the Pacers leads the NBA assists with over 10. Steals is Anunoby for the Raptors over 2 a game. And blocks per game, Jaren Jackson the third with 3 a game. Nick Claxton is averaging 73% from the field. Damian Lee, 48% from 3, and Durant is averaging 93% from the foul line. Damian Lee is on the... Isn't Damian Lee on the... I'm trying to see. Damian Lee plays for the Suns. Okay, I thought... I was trying to get that right. Yeah, so Carolina won the other night. But how about this? Toledo the other night beat Eastern Michigan 84-79. But Memphis champer Amani Bates had 43 points and scored 29 straight in the first half. 29 straight. They lost by 5 the game. 29 straight, but all 5 Toledo starters scored in double digits. 29 straight points. That's crazy. And Missouri's men and women's basketball teams are both number 49 in their respective NCAA net rankings, which is crazy. They're both the same. I thought that was an interesting fact. Women are at number 54, Georgia tonight, at number 91, Kentucky on Sunday. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Dave Matter, for that. And Stanford guard Haley Jones, who has built an impressive NIL portfolio, is the first college athlete to launch a women's basketball podcast with the Players Tribune. Pretty cool, right? Yeah, Devils beat the Vegas Golden Knights. They've won 6 of the last 7. And there's a new record for the highest paid woman in professional hockey history. Darryl Watts, a rookie in the Premier Hockey League, who last week signed with the Toronto Six. Her record-setting salary kicks in for the 2023-24 season. She'll make $150,000 US, which is crazy, right? She had previously said she would not continue her hockey career after finishing her storied NCAA career at the University of Wisconsin. She also played for Boston College, finished her career second all-time in NCAA scoring, and won the 2017-18 Patty Kazmaier Award as the NCAA's top player. Last year with Wisconsin, 57 points, 28 goals in 38 games. The 23-year-old Toronto product also twice represented Canada at the Under-18 World Championships, collecting a pair of silver medals. The PHF's current salary cap of $750,000 is scheduled to double next season to $1.5 million, with a projected salary floor of $1.125 million. Currently, Buffalo Buttes forward Michaela Grant Mentis is the highest-paid player in the PHF and in North America professional women's hockey history, making $80,000 this year. And her first two games with Toronto Six, she had one assist. They will not play this coming weekend as the PHF prepares to celebrate their All-Stars in Toronto. Okay. Pretty cool, right? Yeah. And NBC's coverage of Arsenal's 3-2 victory over Manchester United on Sunday averaged a record 1.92 million English language viewers across NBC, Peacock, and digital platforms. And the Formula One's Vegas Grand Prix will have more than double the economic impact of the Super Bowl, according to a recent analysis. It's slated for November 16th through 18th, estimated to bring in $1.3 billion in spending to the city, which is unbelievable. That's a lot of shekels, man. The Miami Grand Prix announced that they have increased the event's grandstand capacity by 3,000 to meet demands, bringing it to 56,000. Team paddock areas will be located on the Miami Dolphins field with a track circling Hard Rock Stadium. They'll offer a campus pass, general admission tickets that will allow broad access around racer areas. The first Miami Grand Prix in May 2022 drew over 240,000 people to the city. So there's a market for it, man. I mean, people like this. I mean, that's cool. So Seth Curry will not play in the second leg of back tonight against the Pistons. Okay. Oh, and I saw this too, that the Dolan wasn't happy. What was Dolan not happy? Dolan wasn't happy about... James Dolan threatens to ban alcohol at upcoming Ranger games amid liquor board feud because in response to his facial recognition fiasco, which I was like, what a douchebag, that facial recognition. Yeah. Oh, wow. So somebody wrote this. Quite the statement from State Senator Brad Hoylman on James Dolan. New York shouldn't allow petty tyrants to improve their warped fantasies on the public while reaping millions each year in taxpayer subsidies. He said, James Dolan is the poster child of privilege as someone who inherited his wealth. I do not disagree with that. He's an asshole. He's the worst thing. $43 million annual tax break, which MSG may need, since as of November, it was $175 million over budget on its Sphere project in Vegas. And please, yeah, he's over the Sphere project. Well, tough shit, dude. Deal with it. Move on. All right. God, I've been talking for too long. Yeah, and I saw this. Outside linebacker Jesse Lemonnier, who appeared for 7 games for the Lions, has died, but they haven't said what he died at 25. The family said what he died of. He played. He's in the USFL now. He died at 25. They gave no reasons for that. But what are you going to do? All right. So I'm just reporting what I read. All right. Trivia questions from last show. All right. Last show's trivia question was... Yes. Only quarterbacks to win more than one Super Bowl and more than one regular season MVP award. Montana, Brady, Peyton. That's it. Mahomes will join them. And with a win Sunday, he will join Tom Brady as the only starting quarterbacks to reach the Super Bowl 3 times in his first 6 seasons. Okay, today's trivia question. How many postseason games has there been between the Ravens and Bengals? How many postseason games has there been between the Ravens and the Bengals? I'm taking the Bengals in Burrowhead this Sunday and the Eagles. I don't see the Niners winning at all. So, send my best to Michigan. My parents' business is S. And next time you order food, Uber drivers, follow the rules of the court. And, you know, don't walk onto a court. Walk around the court. There's plenty of room to walk. I don't know why you felt you had to walk on the court. It really bothers me, but hey. And the Yankees' first preseason game is 1 month away from today, February 26. Baseball is back, and it's back for too long. All right, folks, have a great night. Peace out. I'll talk to you soon. Adios.